Thanks for listening to MCC's podcast. Have a great day and enjoy the message.
As you can see, Pastor Brandon and I get to tag team the message today. So we're excited about that. In fact, it's kind of interesting right now while Brandon and I are preaching. Matt has probably just finished up preaching on the men's retreat.
Yep.
We've had 105 men on the men's retreat this weekend. So that's pretty awesome. They're having a great time. Wives, I've got to hang out with your husband some yesterday, and I'll be praying. I just want you to know that. I'll be praying for you. And
God is at work.
There's some wild men out there, man. It's crazy. Get a bunch of boys out at a retreat. It's pretty crazy.
So fun.
So we are so glad that you're here today. Today's an important day. We are finishing our fall message series that we've entitled Your Story. So let me invite you to pull the bulletin insert out of your bulletins there where you can fill in some blanks. This is the seventh week and the final week. And so Brandon and I thought we would just kind of work at this together and share some stuff with you today. In this series, it's called Your Story. And we've been talking about the fact that God is writing a story through your life and through my life, through all of our lives. He's writing this story, and there are some specific ways that we can partner with God so that our stories are epic, so that they are the best story they can be and what God has planned for us. And so throughout this series, we've introduced really four ingredients or elements or ways of responding with God that ensure the best stories emerge. And we wanted to just hit those quickly today, just to remind you where we've been and then finish strong with this series today. So when we first began this series, we talked about this first element, and that is that for our best stories to emerge, it's important for us to connect in community. In fact, that's the first blank. If you're filling in, it's that word community. If you're filling that in on your sheets, we are to connect in community. And listen, part of that is what you're doing right here today. When you come together and worship and experience God in a worship gathering like this, you're in community with others, and we encounter God in ways that we don't encounter him on our own in these same kinds of ways. Our men are experiencing right now in the mountains of Western Virginia. They're enjoying encountering God there together, and we get to do that. And then we also meet in groups together during the week. Maybe it's every other week or every week your group meets. And so in that smaller kind of setting where we get to know other people and they get to know us, we encounter one another and we connect in community. And when we do that, when we connect in community, our best stories will emerge by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the second element we talked about for that God desires for us as his people, as he's writing this story, is that is the element of generosity. And, you know, here at MCC, we believe and we practice generosity. Why? Because God's a generous God, isn't he? God is so generous to us. We are so blessed. When we think about what's going on in the world and what other people have, we are so blessed. And he calls us as his people to give back just a small portion of that, the tenth, the tithe. And then God takes that small percentage and he does great things with it. So he calls us to be like him. And part of one of the reasons he asks us to live generously, to practice generosity, also is because God's after what? He's after our hearts, right? Yeah. He's after our hearts. And that's what we talked about, how, you know, our finances are tied to what we invest in. So our hearts are connected to our finances in a lot of ways. And God just wants to keep our hearts free from this world. And so we want to be investing into his kingdom. And the story of MCC, like our story together, is so cool. I mean, over 40 years, God has just been doing so many amazing things. And he continues to write that story through your faithful tithes and offerings.
Yeah, we so appreciate your generosity. Like, for instance, today we came in and we discovered we had these new cool chairs. Watch this. Woo! That's pretty fun. At first, I thought Brandon's chair was taller than mine, and then I realized I'm just fatter than Brandon, so mine goes down more. That makes me feel a lot better. I appreciate that.
I can't see my notes, so
I appreciate you doing that.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Hey, so the third ingredient that we believe God wants you and me to integrate into our lives for our best stories is that we live life on mission. We've been talking about that. We talked about that for 2 weeks. And that means that where you live, where you work, where you play, listen, that is not by accident. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 that God determines the exact times and places people will live. Did you know that? It's amazing. And he does this so that people will reach out to them. And that's what we get to do. So when we talk about living on mission, Brandon, we're talking about how we intentionally, where we work, where we live, we're going to live our lives, model what it means to follow Jesus, and be ready to tell people. Be ready to tell them the reason for our hope, the Bible says. Why do we have hope in the middle of this crazy world? So we do that right where we are. We live on mission where we live, where we are, but we also do it where we go. So that means going cross-cultural. So that means we go across cultures and we tell people who have not heard the good news about Jesus. We send other people to do that. We support other people in doing that. Because when we live our life intentionally on mission, our best stories are going to emerge from that.
Yeah. And so we are very much, I mean, like we prayed this morning, it seems like every week, guys, aren't we? We're just praying out so many teams. It's such a blessing to be a part of a family that's so outward focused. But so this morning, we're going to talk about a little bit in-house, you know, because it's really what happens here and what happens down the hallway with the Next Generation Ministry that sets people free and to find their calling and their purpose and to go out and spread the gospel. Yep. And so the fourth element that we believe, you know, as a follower of Christ and as a member of MCC or to grow in full devotion to Christ is to join a team.
Yep.
To join a team. There's so many teams right here that's working every week to do just that, to equip people, to prepare them for the work that God wants to do. And you know what? God is not into any superstar Christians, is he? I know I'm not into superstar Christians, you know, but because I just feel like average Joe, and I know you do too, you do too, right?
I actually have a Pastor Brandon trading card. I just want you to know that. It's a little... You didn't know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Bobblehead.
Yeah.
So, but so God actually wants us, you know what, just like, you know, we worked as a team, just developing this. What does God want to say this week?
Yeah.
And God doesn't want any superstar Christians. He wants us to depend on each other. You know what? Our giftings are even totally different.
Yep.
So different. And but God uses that so we can come together and accomplish the work of the church.
It's a beautiful opportunity we have to do that, man. I love that. And we are different.
Yeah.
It's been fun trying to work out this message, huh?
Yeah. So when we join a team, what happens is ministry happens. We see God use us, nobodies, do great things, and then the work of the church is accomplished. We find our purpose and fulfillment in that. And we've got a great video of someone who's finding that purpose right here every week.
Watch this.
My name is Cindy Wyatt Blake, and about 3 years ago, Pastor Dwayne asked me to head up a coffee ministry. And I thought to myself, well, I like coffee, and I like to talk, and I like people, so that might be a good fit for me. I didn't realize what kind of obligation it would be as far as time, and I thought, can I handle that with a job and a family? And but because I do like all of those things, it really was very easy for me to fall into the coffee ministry. My team started off, and at first I roped in all my friends. So I was like, you've got to help me. I need your help. And of course, everybody said yes. But now they've talked to other people, and now people are coming to us that want to serve because it's fun, and we have a good time, and we all have each other's back, and, you know, we are all running around, and no one has a certain, you know, position that they have to do. We all just help each other while we're serving. So my team is phenomenal. What I see now with our coffee ministry as far as people just talking and chatting, I have found that people come to us and others there for prayer needs. They and we pray for them, and we've seen the following week they'll come and tell us how God has answered their prayers, and it really has become a blessing as far as I feel like we all get to interact a little more with coffee in our hands. No one really is a stranger. We speak to everyone that comes in, even if you're a regular attendee or if you're a new person that just walks in, no one is a stranger. And everyone just fits right in. They start drinking the coffee and they start talking about the coffee. And we all kind of just, it's like a big unit of friends just talking. No one walks in and no one leaves as a stranger. It just takes the pressure off of someone having to, you know, call in and say, can you pray? They just walk up with a cup of coffee and they start talking to us and we just pray right on the spot. When you find a ministry that fits, it's so easy. It's just like a second nature. And it's really changed my life because I've got to know a lot more members of the church that I ordinarily wouldn't meet without doing this ministry. And so it's really blessed me. I don't think that this is just the service of offering coffee. I think that it's a ministry in that I'm there for someone. I will talk and pray with anyone that has a need or a want or a desire. And I just feel like this ministry gives people the opportunity to have the freedom to be able to pray and talk, especially with a cup of coffee, because coffee is such a hospitality thing. And I think the guard is down when you have a nice cup of coffee in your hand and people that just want to talk. My name is Cindy Wyatt Blake, and serving in the coffee ministry is not just something I do. It's part of my story.
All right.
Good. Yeah. How many are thankful for the coffee ministry here? Amen. Coffee is very spiritual, isn't it?
Come on,
I wake up
man.
Every morning and pour out a drink offering to the Lord. No. Actually, Pastor Matt and I, we're trying to convert Dwayne, but we're still working on
it. Yeah, I got the pour it out part. Yeah. That's what I'm good at. Yeah.
But you know what? You know, at church, we have these little things, don't we? It's like coffee ministry. I know when we started that, when we had that whole little coffee bar put out there, you know, some people were like, amen, finally, thank you, Jesus. You know, others are maybe like, really, like, why are we investing so much into that? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus did that, didn't he? Jesus, some of his most powerful, the stories we read about, Jesus, it takes place around a meal, around a drink like that. And so there's actually a very spiritual something, and something that's so practical and simple. Like that. Jesus did it. And so the first point, as we kind of jump into the scriptures today, the first point that we want to give to you guys is that Jesus chose a team. Jesus chose a team, and that's what we're talking about this morning, is teams. And when you read through the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give the account of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And what we find in all four of those is when Jesus begins his ministry, he began by gathering a team. I mean, it's Jesus. He's God, right? He's the man. In fact, in Luke 4, when he opens up his ministry, he's there in the synagogues and he reads from Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to set the captives free. So, yeah, Jesus is the man. But here's Jesus himself. When the ministry began to grow and the crowds began to gather, what did Jesus do? He gathered a team. It wasn't even about him. He wanted to bring others into God's work. And so he gathers this team of these guys that are just like you and me and from all different backgrounds and giftings. And what happens is these friends of Jesus actually begin to minister with Jesus like Jesus. And we see in the scriptures where Jesus didn't actually do all of the baptizing and the preaching and the healing. Many of the times, it was these guys, it was his team that actually did the baptizing. And Jesus sent them out to heal the sick. He sent them out to preach. And so what happens is Jesus' team actually becomes his hands and feet. And we're going to look at a great example of that this morning in Mark chapter 6.
Yeah, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 or turn on your Bible app. We're going to read a story together. And the setting to this, where we're going to pick up, is where Jesus has sent out his disciples in teams of twos to do just this very kind of ministry. They're healing the sick. They're casting out demons. I mean, there's great things that are happening. Jesus has given them authority to do this and to preach in his name and with his authority. And so now they're coming back. And we come to this very familiar passage of Scripture. If you grew up in church, you heard this in Sunday school a lot. But I want you to kind of view this idea and this whole passage with some fresh eyes today. Because there's really something really fascinating and neat that's happening here. So we're in Mark chapter 6. I want to start to read a verse 30. as these disciples are coming back from their time out in ministry. The Bible says that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving, they recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Let's stop right there. So here the disciples have been out ministering. They've been working hard. They've been having great success. And they come back to talk to Jesus about it. And Jesus wisely says, "Gosh, I know you guys are tired. Let's take a break. Let's find a place to rest." Now, let me just ask, how many of you can relate to that part of this scripture? Can I just, you know, if you got the strength to raise your hands, right? Have you had that kind of week? Anybody had that kind of week where it's just, right? How many of you have had that kind of year where it's just like, as soon as you're hoping to get rest and it's like, anybody just living that kind of life? It's like, someday I'm going to get some rest. Like, these guys are looking for a place to rest. But what happens? Word gets out about who Jesus is, and people show up, and they don't get a chance to rest. You see, God gets it. God understands that we can be weary and tired, and what we're doing in the church, it can be just as tiring. Listen, I worked for a number of years in the business world before going up to seminary and becoming a pastor, and I know what it is to work hard all week long and work into the evening hours and all that. I get that. And then somebody's asking you to do more. I totally get that. I've been there. I understand it. But something happened. It's kind of fascinating in this passage. We see what happens in life. And that is that, notice that in this passage and anywhere in Scripture, whenever a crowd gathers because of who Jesus is, Jesus has compassion on them. You see, whenever a crowd gathers, the reason that happens is because crowds gather because they need something from Jesus. This crowd was looking for something from Jesus. They were hoping to receive something. And can I just say that still happens every single Sunday? Every single Sunday, there's a crowd of people that gather here at 9 o'clock. Yes, the coffee hasn't kicked in and they're not quite as awake as you guys are, but they're here. And they gather, and you and I gather. I would dare say almost every one of us are here today at some level because there's something that we're hoping to receive from Christ. We want to receive from His Word. We want to be encouraged and built up. You see, what I want you to recognize is that just like it was in that day, that there is still a need. People are still gathering. If you're filling in the blanks, you can fill in that blank. There is still a need to be met. You and I, our children, are gathering today to receive something from Jesus. There's still a need to be met. And the great, great news that I have for you today is this. Listen, Jesus still responds with compassion. He still does. If you're here today and there's a need in your life, you need to receive something from God, I can tell you it's God's desire for you that you be ministered to today, that you receive something fresh and encouraging from Him. He loves you that much. Now, what will that look like? What kind of shape will that ministry take? How will you be served and ministered to? I don't know, but you can rest assured that ministry will happen. It may look something like this as we keep reading, Brandon.
Yeah, let's pick up in verse 35. Let's read that together on the screen. So by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Let's look at the next verse. "But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.'" And they said to him, and when I was read this week, I heard something a little bit different. Everybody, who doesn't do well when you haven't eaten? Like me, a little hangry, you know, I just can sense a little bit of frustration. And they said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" You know, I can totally relate to these disciples, like you're saying, Dwayne. You know, it's we all are busy and we work hard, and there's so much coming at us, and many times we can feel that way. Like, hey, you know, haven't I done enough? I mean, here are these disciples. They just got back from doing so much great ministry, and here Jesus is teaching again. You know, they don't get their rest. They don't get their lunch break. And now Jesus is asking them to take care of the need.
Can you kind of just picture the disciples? As soon as Jesus gets up and starts to teach, they're like, oh,
yeah,
here we go again.
Right. Totally.
I think I saw a few people doing that when we got up to preach.
Right.
They were like, oh,
two of them. Oh, God.
Here we go again.
Extra long. You know, there's this sense of like, come on, Jesus, this is not my responsibility. They came for you anyway, right? It's not my responsibility. So here they are. They haven't eaten. And imagine, you know, they when they kind of suggested, why don't you just send them away? Lord, they're very hungry. You know, on the inside, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, man, I am starving. I'm ready to eat. But what does Jesus say? He says, you feed them. It's your responsibility.
Yeah.
These are your people. How many of you guys here this morning, you would say, maybe you've been here for a little while, and you would say that MCC is your home. You know, if you've been out, you see just a show of hands. If you're out, you met somebody at the coffee shop, and yeah, you know, I go to MCC. That's my home church. You know, maybe you're not a member here, but you would call MCC your home. Home is a great place, isn't it? I mean, country songs are written about it. You know? We all are looking for a home. You know, home is a wonderful place. And we're so excited. Dwayne knows this, but Faith and I, God opened the door for us to have our very first home. So we're home owners now this year for the first time.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord. And after a lot of waiting and praying, and it's a total fixer-upper, this thing. Total fixer-upper, that's what we could afford at the time. And you know, that question, are you ready for a fixer-upper? I'm not sure. Faith kind of gives me a hard time, but you know what happened? The day we finally got the keys, and you know what I did the next day, Dwayne? I was there with the sledgehammer. I was there busting out walls and ripping cabinets off. Why? This is mine now. I want to prepare a place, you know, where my family can come and where they can be comfortable. And I'm excited about that. And but I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be long. So we spent 5 months just totally renovating this house.
Wow.
And we're finally moved in 2 weeks ago after a complete renovation. So that's awesome.
Woo!
And now my kids, they have a new dad. He's totally OCD. He's like, shoes, take your shoes off. Don't touch the wall. Do you know how long it took me to paint that? You know? And so there's this new element of care, right? Why? Because I own it. It's, yep. It's mine. I'm invested. I am now invested in this, so I care about what takes place. I care about the house. So again, let me ask you that question again. Is MCC your home? Is MCC your home? So if you're newer here or maybe just exploring faith, you know, we're so excited about that. We welcome you. We want you to take your time, and we want you to make yourself feel at home. Be our guest as long as you need in God's journey for you.
About 2 or 3 weeks. That's what we typically would say.
2 weeks. And then we're going to call you. But
that's a joke.
Yeah, just joking. We do. We want you to feel at rest and take your time. God's journey. But, all right, members and house, pull back your toes for a second. But if MCC is your home and you're not serving your family, you know, because in our house, Dwayne, another thing that we do is we're a team. You know, our kids, I love that our kids are learning the value of doing the dishes, of folding the laundry. Why? Because we're in it together.
That's awesome.
We're in it together. You know, my wife doesn't do everything. I don't do everything. We're in this together. So they're invested in. And so if this is your home, this is a challenge. But if you're not serving your family, it's kind of like, you know, that 26-year-old kid that lives in the basement and plays video games all day, you know? You know, the kid who loves the fridge, loves to go to the fridge but never invests to put anything in the fridge. It's kind of like that. Because this is the point. This is our home. Amen? Come on, church. Come on. We have discussions that the world is looking for a home.
Yeah.
The world is looking for a place to belong. The world is looking for true love and real family. It's time for us to be that.
That's good.
And that's the next point this morning.
It's our home.
You can put that up on the screen, guys. Yeah, next feeling is that this is our home. Because Jesus, he put the responsibility on them. You know, it's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. And so, guys, let's not be the Christians that say, feed me. Feed me. I like this, but I don't like that. Be the type of Christian that walks in here and says, who can I feed? Who can I feed? Who can I serve? Because I'm not here for myself. I'm here to be a family member, to invest.
That's so good, man. That is so good. There, you know, ownership, when we're talking about this, we can talk about what ownership looks like. And we know it's not only about serving here in the church. We know that there are many of you, and God calls each of us, like we've talked for 2 weeks about living on mission, where you live, and making a difference outside of these walls. And that's absolutely part of, that's our calling. It's who we are to be as believers. But there is this piece about serving one another in love. The Bible talks about, in fact, he gives gifts of pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist. He gives those gifts to the church to prepare all of us for works of service, for works of ministry. So what does that look like? What does it look like to own it? Well, to own this place and to be engaged, first of all, is to do what we talked about last Sunday. It's to know who you are and how God has uniquely shaped you. How many of you enjoyed last week with Greg Jordan and that talk on the motivational gifts?
So good.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Good stuff, right out of Romans chapter 12. And what I love about that is that it values who you are as an individual. I hope you walked out of there feeling affirmed. You know, just we're all somewhere in one of those seven gifts and a mix of those, the way we view the world. And you're not weird, you're not unusual, you're unique, and you're perfectly unique the way God has created you and designed you to be. And so ownership means we understand how God has wired us up, the kinds of ways that we are comfortable and are created to serve. It varies with all of us. And then we find that niche. We find the team that our gifts will fit with and where we can make a team successful in what they're doing. This is what God wants you and me to do, is to use our unique giftings and abilities to make those teams successful and to change people. Now, for some of you here today, when I said that, the first thing that popped into your mind was, well, maybe you, but I don't have anything to offer. What gift do I have? I can't do this. I can't speak, and I'm not good at that, and I don't know how. Listen, I don't even drink coffee. You don't want me to make your coffee. Can I just tell you that? I have no clue how to do that, right? It's just not my thing. So you may be saying, what can I do? I don't really have anything to offer. And my answer to you is, you have a whole lot more than you realize. You have a whole lot more to offer. And we see it right here in this passage. Keep going with us here in Mark chapter 6. Everybody with us? You tracking? Everybody doing okay? Look what it says here in Mark chapter 6. Jesus asked them a question. This is verse 38. He says, how many loaves do you have? He asked, and he said, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now here's the point. They went and saw, and they took an inventory of what they had, and it wasn't much, was it? Wasn't a whole lot. In fact, what they thought they had, they knew absolutely that it was insufficient for the need. It was very obvious. What you'll see at the end of this passage, when we get down there, is that there were more than 5,000 men that were gathered, which means there were wives and that there were children. We're talking at least conservatively 10,000 people that are gathered. And they have 5 loaves of bread and 2 little dried fish. It was absolutely, what they knew that they had was absolutely insufficient for the need that was confronting them. But thankfully, that's not where it stops. Let's keep reading. Verse 39. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Now, I want you to notice something here. There are a couple of other things that these guys had that they didn't realize. And the first is this. They had their willingness to obey Jesus. Jesus gave them some very clear and, let's face it, frankly, fairly simple instructions, right? He said, I want you to group the people together, sit them down in 50s and hundreds, just get them grouped together. Now, friends, that is not rocket science. I saw men do that on a retreat, and they actually did it pretty easily. I was amazed, you know? It's pretty easy. They gave them directions, but notice what was happening. And here's something I want you to see so clearly. Notice what the disciples, this team of disciples, was doing. This team was positioning the people to receive from Jesus. Now, I'm just going to let that hang there for a second because that's deep. You just don't know it yet. Jesus said, I want you to group them in 50s and hundreds, have them sit down on the grass. What was Jesus saying? Jesus, in his heart, he knew, he said, I'm getting ready to do something here, and I need you to position them so they can receive what I'm getting ready to do. Is this thing on? You see, they had their willingness to obey Christ, and they did that. They did what they could do. In fact, I'll say it this way. I'll get you a little behind the curtain. We have ushers that serve here every day. We have probably right now maybe 50 or so ushers that are on our roster, and they serve here every day. Here is their job description, their mission statement. You ready? The mission statement for our ushers is this. Your job is to order the natural so that the supernatural can happen. Isn't that good? You see, I'm not telling them your job is to stand at the door and pretend to smile and hand out a piece of paper to everybody that comes in. No, that is part of your job. But what are you doing? You're ordering the natural. You're preparing people to receive from God. Your job, ushers, sometimes is when somebody has a child that's really, really loud and making a lot of noise and disturbing. You know, we love to have kids here, but occasionally it gets a little too distracting. And so your job is to go and help that mother know that there's a room where they can watch the service and they can see it. And that way the child can be settled and it won't disturb everybody around. You know, I know that's a touchy thing, ushers. That's hard to do. No. It's not about that. It's about the fact that you are ordering the natural so the supernatural can happen. That's what ministry is. Let me say it this way. Each of you has already been served here in some amazing ways before you got here. Let me tell you about a couple of things that took place this morning before you came because of some teams. Doors were unlocked. There were teams of greeters that greeted you at the doors. The coffee, praise God, the coffee team showed up and did what they do. The building was cleaned. The check-in computers for checking in your children and making sure they're safe and they're not going anywhere and nobody else picks them up. All that was set up this morning and people manned those computers. Children's ministries and nursery teams are in place. They were here early getting ready for that. Our safety team is working right now just to make sure you and I are kept safe. Bulletins were printed and distributed. Do you know the band has been here since 7 o'clock this morning rehearsing so you and I could encounter Christ in worship? Sunday school teachers showed up and prayed and were ready to teach this morning. And thank God somebody filled the bowl of mints. Aren't you excited about that? You know what's funny? So, your neighbor's glad you got a mint today. I'm just saying. All right? He may not, you know, be so happy about it, but yeah, that's Pastor, it next to you.
Pastor Tim used to say, don't let bad breath ruin your testimony.
That's it, man. So. That's it. It'll run you right away from God, man, if you're not careful. So here's the point. All of us have been served by these teams today, and it was their obedience and a little bit of effort that took care of positioning us to receive something from Jesus. Isn't that good? You see, you have the ability to do that. You may not have known that. And then this team of disciples had one other thing, and then I got to go, man. I'm preaching now. I'm sorry.
Come on, man. I'm enjoying.
The second thing they had was the better thing, and that was They had the creator of the universe who was ready to do something that only he could do. You see, what I'm saying is the disciples did what they could do, trusting that Jesus would do what only he could do. I don't know how this miracle happened. The scripture isn't really super clear about exactly where everything got multiplied, but here's what I think happened. Here's what I think happened. If it had been up to Jesus to multiply and then distribute food for 10,000 people to those disciples, that would have taken a while. I think what they did is they got a bunch of baskets down there. Jesus prayed over that meal, and he broke it, and he put those little fragments in those baskets, and then he said, all right, guys, pick up your basket and turn around and start heading for a group. Now, how do you feel if you're picking up a basket with a few crumbs of bread and a little bit of fish, and you're starting to walk towards, 100 hungry men? Right? It's a little scary, right? But you know what I think happened? I call that the dying steps of faith. I believe those disciples said, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to Jesus. I'm going to offer what I can and what I have. And I believe that with every step they took toward that crowd, I believe that food just began to multiply right there in that basket. I believe Jesus just began to do. What was Jesus doing? He was doing what only he could do. And that's what we're saying to you in ministry. You offer what you can. God, I'm just bringing my basket. All it's got is a little bit in it. But I'm trusting as I take steps and I begin to move and minister in obedience to you, you're going to fill it in every way and do what only you can do. Now, that's pretty good because that's what you have at your disposal and that's what I have at my disposal. Jesus takes our emptiness and our willingness and he adds his power and his compassion and he does amazing things. That's what ministry is. That's what we're called to do. That's what I think God wants us to do. Did I give him a point? No, I didn't. So let me tell you what the fourth point is. Recognize what you have.
Yeah.
Recognize what you have. Because you got more than you realize.
Yeah. And just, team, we all benefit from teams, don't we? I mean, I couldn't believe it. That's just such a cool list, all the stuff that happens here every morning. And sometimes we need to stop to recognize the teams around us and what they're doing. Can you imagine, Sunday morning, like you're sitting here and we call, not the ushers, but we call forth the usher, like, usher, please come down and take the offering. And the usher comes down here and say, okay, so now you guys just, get on your phones or something while you wait for the offering to come by or the communion cup. Like, this is crazy. So, moving on, let's see what God did. Let's read verse 43-44. We're kind of wrapping up this morning. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Isn't it? It's no coincidence. And for us who've heard this story 1,000 times, we have to stop and recognize. What is God saying to us? What is he saying to me? It's no coincidence that there's 12 baskets. Remember they started out empty, not even having time to eat, tired, worn out.
It's true.
And here, what happens is when they are faithful to do what God's called them to do, they find themselves distributing a miracle. All they were doing is passing the basket. You might join a team and pass a communion plate. But you know what? There might be somebody sitting in the seat in that pew and they're holding that cup and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And their life is changed. You know what? You ordered the natural so they could have an encounter. Things that seem so insignificant but so important. So here these guys are busy and they just wanted to enjoy. Jesus, like, Dwayne, leave me alone, man. I don't want to join the team. Jesus, leave me alone. I just want to enjoy the service. But when we choose to sacrifice and serve one another, we see God showing up in amazing ways.
Yep.
And then they got filled. And that's our fifth and final point this morning, is that serving others brings satisfaction.
Yeah.
And we make no apologies for that. That's the selfish side of ministry. It's okay. We tell students sometimes, I want you guys to get greedy for God. That's one place where I want people to be greedy. Get greedy for God. But there's a sign, you know what, and we talked about it, that, you know, Jesus in the Bible, it says that for the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. There is a satisfaction and a joy that happens when we give ourselves away in Jesus. And so joy and delight has to be our motivation. And, you know, so as we've been going through this series, you know, we joke and, you know, like we're going to call you in 2 weeks and all because we understand the need. Because we care about the, we care about what God wants to do. And it takes people, it takes finances, it takes community, it takes all these things. And, but you know what? We never, ever want guilt or manipulation to be your motive.
That's right.
And we hope that you never hear that from us. You know, we joke, but we hope that you never hear guilt or manipulation from us. We want to challenge you. Mm-hmm. And we hope that this series has been challenging because we all have areas that God wants us to grow. But joy and delight has to be our motivation. We want to go from duty to delight. From duty to delight. And you know what? So for me personally, Dwayne, you know, I was here at MCC for many years before I've been serving on staff. Mm-hmm. But some of my favorite church and ministry moments have happened in a team. Right. Some of my best friends in life came when Faith and I, many years ago, before we ever went to the mission field, we served on the middle school team. I know everybody is so excited about serving middle schoolers.
So,
and that's where that gift and calling thing comes in, you know? I talk to some people, they're like, you're nuts working with teenagers. I'm like, you're crazy working with adults. But kids are awesome. Young people is awesome. So it's been the greatest joy. And then, you know what? It is so exciting to see a young person in the next generation world experience God. And God becomes real. Oh, my gosh. I am so full. And I think that's where we get a taste where remember when Jesus said, I have bread and food that you know not of to do the work of my Father? I think that's maybe what he's talking about there. That, man, it is so satisfying. And, man, if you're not serving, you're missing out. Mm-hmm. You really are. It's so fun to see what God does. And our favorite times of the week is, you know, Thursday nights. And you know what? God's not only doing that in Next Generation Ministry, but he's doing it in every area of ministry here at MCC.
I love that word you use, Brandon, delight. So we're not talking about duty. We're talking about moving beyond duty to experiencing the delight. And you know what? It is the delight. Many times it's the surprise, like, man, I never saw that coming. I never knew Jesus could do that through this simple act of obedience or through this simple response of mine. So it does become a delight in our lives, and that is what we want you to experience. We don't want you doing 50 things here at our church. We really don't. In fact, that's why we spent time on the motivational gifts last week. We want you to understand how God has wired you up because we want you to pour yourself into something that fits who you are. Because when you do that, yeah, you may be working hard, but it almost doesn't feel like work because it brings such joy. It brings such a fulfillment, and it's such a great fit for you. That's what we desire for you today and in the weeks and months ahead. We want you to experience that kind of delight. You may look and see all the teams that are happening at our church, and you might tend to think, well, that's a big church, and they don't need my help. They got all kinds of stuff happening. All that stuff's happening every week, and it all seems to be running like clockwork. If that is your thinking, I would lovingly just simply say you are incorrect. there are lots of opportunities for being on a team. We're not asking you to fill a slot. We're asking you to find your gift. Find how God has wired you up and unashamedly saying, become part of a team. Help make a team successful, and you're going to discover a level of joy and relationship and commitment that you weren't expecting. And God's going to show up and do some wonderful things. So here we are at the end of this series, and I want to invite some folks that are going to help us in the foyer. Some are already heading out there. If you haven't already done so, you can. So here's the thing. We're finishing up this series, and our goal for this series, in fact, let's show those icons again over these four ingredients. Our goal for this series ultimately we've tried to bring clarity on what does it mean to be an MCCer? What does it mean to be part of who we are here as a church. If somebody was to ask you, well, what is it like or what does it mean to go to MCC? We hope that you will be able to begin to answer with these four really kind of ingredients. Well, it means that we've made a commitment to connect in community. We're going to practice generosity in every opportunity we can. We're going to live our lives on mission, both outside of these walls and outside of our culture. And we're also joining a team where we're ministering inside the walls and serving the success of our brothers and sisters right here among us. We hope that you'll recognize and you're going to hear those words more and more from this platform about those four ingredients to your story. But today, we're going to finish by focusing on this last piece. Every week in this series, we've tried to give you a go-to, kind of a, well, what's next or how do I respond? And we want to give you that opportunity today as well for how to respond. So I want to invite you to take out that bulletin because we've got one last blank at the bottom there that we need to fill in. And so if you are already involved and engaged in a ministry, an ongoing ministry here at the church, then I want you to fill in that blank with your ministry. The team, my team at MCC is blank. And you can go ahead and just write it in. For some of you, I mean, I met somebody today who was ushering in the first service, and she was wearing an MCC Kids t-shirt because she was serving at MCC Kids in the second service. Man, I love and appreciate that dedication. I wish she didn't have to do that on the same Sunday, you know? It'd be great for her to be able to be fully engaged in one of our services, at least on a Sunday. And that's what more teammates makes possible, you know? So we don't want anybody worn out. We don't want anybody to burn out. By any means. So jot down, if you're part of a team, jot down what that team is or those multiple teams you're involved in. Now, if you're not on a team and serving on a team right now, then let's talk for just a moment. Let's talk about that. If you turn your bulletin over, there are three large umbrellas, kind of large categories of ministry here at the church that's very easy to get engaged in. Very worthy, very worthwhile opportunities to get engaged in. The first you'll see there are guest services. These are teams like some of what I've been talking about today, greeters, ushers, people who are making phone calls to guests who have indicated they want to know more about our church, people who are overseeing events and helping out in special events, a traffic team, people who are helping in the parking lot. These are all of these guest service kind of areas. And I want you just to the right of that where guest services, just write the word green. Just write the word green beside guest services, okay? And I'll tell you why here in just a minute. In the middle there, you see arts and tech. This is people who are like, you see in the band maybe, or singing on stage, our audiovisual guys. Aren't you thankful for those guys? Because if they didn't like what we were saying, no idea what we were saying, right? So they're, you know, so I guess we're done, right? Yeah. That's the 1 minute warning. We're about out of power, so we gotta go. Actors, dancers. That's the team I wanna try out for next, is the dancer. No, I'm not gonna do that. It's not my gift. So maybe that's an area that you are interested in, or you have interest or maybe abilities in, or would like to be part of. Write the word blue beside that, arts and tech. Just write the word blue. So we've got green, guest services, blue, arts and tech. And then at the bottom, you see next generation ministries. These are the ministries that Brandon has been talking about with MCC Kids, helping out during services like from nursery through fifth grade. It could be God bless you helping with the middle schoolers. I've got one. I love her to death. She's the one that God has given me the ability to love, and I love that so much. No, I'm teasing. I love
all
of them.
By the way, that is the best of the three, so go ahead and you can pick that one.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And I heard they're handing out $100 bills at that table. Okay.
Also, our student ministries, the high schoolers, and as well as our young adults. If you have a passion, if you just love kids and you genuinely just want to just let them know that somebody does love them and does care about them, all joking aside, then you're the kind of person we want serving and involved in that ministry world, next generation. So do me a favor and write the word orange beside where it says next generation on the back of your bulletin there of the insert. Orange. So we've got those three colors. So here's what we've done. Out in the foyer today, you're going to see we've kind of segmented the foyer into three sections, green, blue, and orange. Can you guess what those might represent, right? So if you're interested in just having a conversation, listen, it does not mean you've signed up and you're locked in. And, you know, we don't lock people in for years, and we don't do that. But if you want to just have a conversation and say, you know, I might be interested in the next generation ministry somewhere, or I would love to do sets and help design or do stage work or do some things like that, or help with the AV and the tech. And that's, or if you want to be involved in greeting or ushering or one of these guest service areas, just go to that color, green, blue, or orange. There'll be some folks there who are just part of those ministry worlds. They can answer questions, and you can just have that dialogue. We want to give you an opportunity to walk out what we're saying we believe is important for us to do as a church. Serve outside of these walls, but also serve inside of these walls. Will you please stand with me? So we're going to ask God just to speak to you and speak with you. And while we're doing that, as we're praying, the last thing I'll say before we pray is this. Brandon, the one thing we don't want people to do, we don't want you to walk out in the foyer and be so afraid that you like kind of, you know, make sure you don't make eye contact, you know. You got the kids with you, like, don't look up, you know, just you know. It's not about that, okay? So don't feel guilty about that at all, right? We just want to welcome you to have some conversations.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Your best story is on the other side of you and me partnering with God in all of these ways, to saying, God, I'm going to give you my obedience. I'm going to give you my empty basket. I'm going to offer what I can, and I'm going to trust and see what you do, Jesus. Only you can do through my obedience. All right? Let's just pray over you and bless you. Father, we thank you for this awesome church. Lord, so many of the people, I look across this congregation, and they're serving in multiple rooms in this building. They're serving in their neighborhoods. I think about people just going after the whole corridor on the south side. God, I just thank you for what you're doing. I think about the north side and what you're doing there. And God, we bless you for that, and we bless those ministries. But God, we also thank you for people that right now are ministering to children. They're wrapping up their messages and their stories for the guys that are keeping us safe on the safety team right now, just watching out for us. God, thank you for these teams. And thank you, Lord, that in this room, in this house right now, are all the needs that are there can be met. Help us to just hear your voice, to really get a sense of who we are, to take those motivational gifts we heard about last week and discovered about ourselves. And Lord, knowing that some of those gifts, they just fit perfectly in some of these worlds. I pray that you would help those connections to be made so that, as Ephesians 4 says, the body of Christ may be built up and encouraged and affirmed and affirmed. God, we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Help us to be a church whose individual stories all combine to tell your story, the greatest story, the gospel, the good news, far and wide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have those conversations. We'll see you next week as we start a brand new series. God bless you.